your post-workout meal, a good rule of thumb is about 1 gram per kilogram of body weight. And in terms of when to eat the carbs, the general recommendation is immediately after exercise. Research also shows that eating about half of the 1 gram per kilogram amount 2 hours later can help further replenish glycogen stores. But this is optional as the effects aren't nearly as pronounced as the initial post-workout meal. I recommend that you include this second post-workout meal if it fits your meal planning needs, but don't if it doesn't. What about cardio workouts? All the previous advice is for weightlifting workouts. As far as cardio workouts go, it's smart to have some protein before to counteract any potential muscle loss, but otherwise, you don't need to do anything special. If you need to perform well, sports for instance, then including carbs in your pre-workout meal is a good idea as well. Post-workout protein, or carbs, would only be needed if the cardio were particularly long and intense, longer than 1 hour, with a fair amount of sprinting. Chapter summary. Eating protein before working out, and especially a quickly digested protein high in leucine like whey, can help you build more muscle over time. I recommend 30 to 40 grams of protein 30 minutes before training. Eating carbohydrate before working out, and especially a quickly digested form, will improve your performance. I recommend 40 to 50 grams of carbs 30 minutes before training. Eating dietary fat before working out provides no benefits. The goals of post-workout nutrition are minimizing post-workout muscle breakdown and maximizing protein synthesis. And similar to pre-workout nutrition, you achieve these effects by eating protein and carbohydrate after training. Eating protein after working out, and especially a quickly digested protein high in leucine like whey, can help you build more muscle over time. I recommend eating at least 30 to 40 grams of protein in your post-workout meal. Eating carbohydrate after working out, and especially a quickly digested form, raises insulin levels faster and keeps them elevated longer, which in turn keeps muscle breakdown rates low. I recommend 1 gram of carbohydrate per kilogram of body weight in your post-workout meal, which you should eat immediately after exercise. Research also shows that eating about half of the 1 gram of carbohydrate per kilogram amount 2 hours later can help further replenish glycogen stores, but this is optional as the effects aren't nearly as pronounced as the initial post-workout meal. It's smart to have some protein before a cardio workout to counteract any potential muscle loss. Post-workout protein, or carbs, would only be needed if the cardio were particularly long and intense, longer than 1 hour with a fair amount of sprinting. Chapter 14. Build the body you want eating the food you love. The bigger, leaner, stronger diet. You are right to be wary. There is much bullshit. Be wary of me, too, because I may be wrong. Make up your own mind after you evaluate all the evidence and the logic. Mark Ripito. In this chapter, we're going to take everything you've learned about proper nutrition and turn it into a simple, easy-to-follow diet plan. Specifically, we're going to learn how to create 3 types of meal plans. One for cutting, one for bulking, and one for maintaining. Cutting is fitness speak for feeding your body less energy than it burns every day to maximize fat loss while minimizing muscle loss. Bulking refers to feeding your body slightly more energy than it burns every day so as to maximize muscle growth. You also gain body fat while bulking. Maintaining refers to feeding your body the energy it burns every day, which enables you to make slow muscle gains without adding any fat. Most people have heard how energy balance relates to fat loss, but few know how it also relates to muscle growth. For example, did you know that restricting calories hinders your body's ability to build muscle, while eating a slight surplus of calories maximizes it? Every day, our muscle cells go through a natural process whereby degraded cells are eliminated and new cells are created to take their place. Under normal health and dietary circumstances, muscle tissue is fairly stable, and the cycle of cellular degradation and regeneration remains balanced. That is, the average person doesn't lose or gain muscle at an accelerated rate. His or her lean mass more or less remains level. Well, unless we train our muscles, we slowly lose lean mass as we age. But you get the point. When we engage in resistance training, we damage the cells in our muscle fibers, and this signals the body to accelerate the normal rate of protein synthesis to repair the large number of damaged cells. When you restrict your calories, however, your anabolic hormone levels drop, and your body's ability to synthesize proteins becomes impaired. That is, a calorie deficit blunts your body's ability to fully repair the damage you cause to your muscles through exercise. This is why it's also easier to overtrain when you're in a calorie deficit. This is why you generally can't build muscle efficiently while restricting calories for fat loss, something often referred to as body recomposition and often pitched as the new school of bodybuilding. The people selling the body recomp will usually say that bulking and cutting doesn't work or is old hat and that anyone and everyone can get big and lean simultaneously by following some fancy type of diet or exercise routine. Well, they're lying. The only people who can effectively and naturally build muscle and lose fat simultaneously are newbies who have a fair amount of fat to lose and people who used to be in great shape and are now getting back at it. Muscle memory allows you to rapidly regain muscle you once had. If you're an experienced weightlifter who has already built a fair amount of muscle, however, you won't be able to build any appreciable amount of muscle while restricting your calories for fat loss, no matter what type of diet or training protocol you use, period. Your goal while cutting is to preserve muscle, not gain it. The big secret of experienced, accomplished weightlifters who are able to build muscle and strength while getting lean is drugs. Lots and lots of drugs. So, don't become one of the many guys who spin their wheels for years chasing the recomp, jumping from one fad workout and diet to the next, with little to show for it in the end. What does that leave, though? If we can't recomp our way into the ideal physique, how do we get there? By bulking and cutting properly. You see, there's validity in some of the popular critiques of this approach. It's true that many of the bulking programs you can find on the internet are flawed in various ways, namely improper training that doesn't result in much muscle growth, excessive overeating that results in rapid fat storage, and improper cutting that burns away too much muscle. These programs result in cycles of bulking and cutting that go like this. Gain some muscle and a bunch of fat while bulking. Strip away fat and muscle while cutting. Look exactly the same as the starting point. This is incredibly common and frustrating, and it gives bulking and cutting a bad name. It's not inevitable, though. It's simply the result of bulking and cutting incorrectly. If you know what you're doing, however, you can build significant amounts of muscle while bulking without adding thick layers of fat and retain all of your muscle while cutting, shedding only the excess pounds. Proper bulking starts with understanding that when you raise your calorie intake and take your body out of a deficit, your anabolic hormone levels rise and your body's ability to synthesize proteins is restored to normal levels. This is why bulking involves eating slightly more energy than you're burning, but not eating everything under the sun, moon, and stars, which leads to excessive fat storage. This not only makes you look like a big bloated mess, but it also makes it easier to get fatter and impairs muscle growth. You see, as body fat levels rise, insulin sensitivity drops, which means that cells become less responsive to insulin signals. As the body becomes more insulin resistant, its ability to burn fat decreases and the likelihood of storing carbohydrates as fat increases. Furthermore, insulin resistance suppresses intracellular signaling responsible for protein synthesis, which means less total muscle growth. Research has also shown that as we get fatter, our free testosterone levels drop and estrogen levels rise. As testosterone plays a vital role in the process of muscle building, and high levels of estrogen promote fat storage, the downsides of these consequences are clear. The reality is that excessive weight gain during a dirty or dreamer bulk, which involves eating obscene amounts of food every day, is incredibly counterproductive. It gets in the way of muscle growth and makes subsequent efforts to get rid of the excess body fat even harder. This is why I always recommend that guys don't bulk if they're over 15% body fat, and that they end their bulks once they reach 15 to 17% and begin cutting, as this is where the previously mentioned problems start to kick in. Then, once they've reached the 10% body fat range, they're ready to bulk again and add more muscle to their physiques. If you're not sure how to determine your body fat percentage, Most experts agree that hydrostatic and DEXA X-ray are the most accurate methods. The downside, however, is inconvenience and cost. Therefore, I recommend that you get a good fat caliper. The one I recommend in the bonus report at the end of this book is inexpensive and accurate to within 1%. Now, let's shift gears and talk about two other types of people I commonly run into. The small, relatively lean guy who's a bit too worried about putting on some body fat while bulking properly, and the guy who wants to get really lean as the first order of business. The trap the first guy is likely to fall into is simple. He chronically undereats and then usually makes strength gains in the gym, but fails to add any real size. Eventually, he quits out of frustration. Don't make this mistake. If you're gaining strength but not size, you're not eating enough. And some guys need to eat a lot to make steady progress on the scale. I've worked with 170-pound guys who had to eat more than 4,000 calories per day just to gain 0.5 to 1 pound per week. And the relatively lean guy who wants to get shredded first? Well, even if he's new to lifting and can build some muscle while losing fat, it won't be enough to keep him from looking absolutely scrawny at the 7 to 8% body fat range. What many guys don't realize is how much visual size you lose once you get below 10%. The body fat that you're stripping pads all your muscles, making them look larger. And unless you have considerable actual lean mass, you just look small. This is why I recommend that you juggle your cuts and bulks to remain in the 10 to 15 to 17% body fat range until you reach a point where you're absolutely satisfied with your overall size at 10%, and then cut below this point. In fact, many guys, including me, find that they need to reach a point where they feel they're too big at 10% to have the look they want at 7%. So that's the theory of bulking, cutting, and maintaining. Let's now get into the dietary numbers and details of how to do each. Earlier in the book, you learned how to calculate your BMR and TDEE, and then later learned some basic guidelines on how you should break those calories down into daily macronutrient targets. I also said that I was going to simplify the whole affair for you and give you easy formulas to follow. Well, this is where we get to that simplification. Before we get to the numbers, I want to note that you shouldn't add or subtract from your total calorie intake based on the exercise you do in the program. The formulas I give later assume that you will be doing 4 to 6 hours of exercise per week, which is what the program calls for. If you're going to be doing significantly more or less exercise than this, you can start with the formulas and adjust up or down based on how your body responds, which we'll talk more about in the sections later. So let's look at cutting, bulking, and maintaining separately. Cutting 101, how to eat for maximum fat loss. Cutting requires a bit more dietary precision and compliance than bulking and maintaining, because if you overeat a bit on a bulk or maintenance diet, you still gain muscle and weight. Overeat on a cut, though, and you can quickly get stuck in a rut. You're looking to lose between 1 and 2 pounds per week when cutting, and if that sounds low to you, remember that weight loss that is too rapid is undesirable, as it means you're losing a fair amount of muscle as well as fat. If you have quite a bit of fat to lose, you may find you lose upward of 2 to 3 pounds per week for the first few weeks, and that's fine. As time goes on, though, you should see it slow down to a rate of 1 to 2 pounds lost per week. Calculating your cutting diet. When you cut, you will first calculate a starting point and adjust as needed. I'm going to give you simple formulas to use for this, which you'll also find in the bonus report for easy reference and use. So, here's where you start. 1.2 grams of protein per pound of body weight per day, 1 gram of carbs per pound of body weight per day, and 0.2 grams of fat per pound of body weight per day. For a 200-pound male, it would look like this: 240 grams of protein per day, 200 grams of carbs per day, and 40 grams of fat per day. This would be about 2,120 calories per day, which is a good starting point for a 200-pound guy looking to lose weight. If you're over 25% body fat, your formula is slightly different. 0.8 grams of protein per pound of body weight per day, 0.6 grams of carbs per pound of body weight per day, and 0.3 grams of fat per pound of body weight per day. For a 250-pound guy, it would look like this: 200 grams of protein per day, 150 grams of carbs per day, and 80 grams of fat per day. This also comes to about 2,120 calories per day, which is where a 250-pound man with a body fat percentage greater than 25% would want to start. Remember that the more body fat you have to lose, the larger of a deficit you can safely place yourself in. If you're extremely obese, over 30% body fat, then I recommend that you work out your BMR as discussed earlier in this book and do the following. 1. Multiply it by 1.2. This will be your daily calorie intake. 2. Get 40% of those calories from protein, 30% from carbohydrates, and 30% from dietary fat. Here's how you figure this out. A. Multiply your total daily calorie intake by 0.4 and divide the resulting number by 4. This is how many grams of protein you will eat every day. B. Multiply your total daily calorie intake by 0.3 and divide the resulting number by 4. This is how many grams of carbohydrate you will eat every day. C. Multiply your total daily calorie intake by 0.3 and divide the resulting number by 9. This is how many grams of dietary fat you will eat every day. For example, if your total daily calorie intake is 2,200, here's how this looks. 2,200 times 0.4 divided by 4 equals 200 grams of protein per day. 2,200 times 0.3 divided by 4 equals 165 grams of carbohydrate per day. 2,200 times 0.3 divided by 9 equals 73 grams of dietary fat per day. General cutting recommendations. While overeating is the more common mistake when cutting, some people tend to undereat. If taken too far, this can be worse than overeating because it can cause significant muscle loss. During your first week or two of cutting, you can expect to be a little hungry at times and to run into some cravings. This doesn't mean that you're losing muscle or that anything else is wrong. It just comes with the territory, but it passes after a few weeks. A proper cut is not supposed to be a grueling test of your will. When I'm cutting, I try to be within 50 calories of my daily target. Some days I'm a little higher and some a little lower, but I don't have any major swings in my intake. Stick to lean sources of protein and you won't have trouble putting together a meal plan that works. If your protein sources contain too much fat, you're going to find it hard to keep your calories where they need to be with proper macronutrient ratios. After 7 to 10 days of sticking to your cutting diet, you should assess how it's going. Weight loss isn't the only criterion to consider when deciding if your diet is right or wrong, however. You should judge your progress based on the following criteria. Your weight. Did it go down, go up, or stay the same? Your clothes. Do they feel looser, tighter, or the same? The mirror. Do you look thinner, fatter, or the same? Your energy levels. Do you feel energized, tired, or somewhere in between? Your strength. Is it going up, going down, or staying about the same? And your sleep. Are you exhausted by the end of the night? Do you have trouble winding down, or has nothing changed? Let's talk about each point briefly. Your weight. Generally speaking, if your weight is going up on a cut, you're eating too much or moving too little. The exception, however, is when someone is new to weightlifting, as he not only builds muscle while losing fat, which adds weight, but his muscles also suck up quite a bit of glycogen and water, which can easily add a few pounds in the first month. Considering that you generally lose about 1 pound of fat per week, you can see how the fat loss can be obscured on the scale. So if you're new to weightlifting and starting with a cut, I recommend tracking your waist measurement along with your weight for the first 4 to 6 weeks. If your waist is shrinking, you're losing fat, regardless of what the scale shows. In time, your muscles' glycogen and water levels will stabilize. While you can continue building muscle while losing fat, you'll eventually lose more fat in pounds each week than you gain in muscle, resulting in net weight loss over time. If you're a more experienced weightlifter, however, and your weight is remaining the same after several weeks of cutting, you're likely just eating too much or moving too little. Your clothes. Your waist measurement at the navel shrinking is a reliable sign that you're losing fat. So if your jeans are loosening, that's a reliable indicator of fat loss. Your mirror. Although it can be tough to observe changes in our bodies when we see them every day, you should definitely notice a visual difference after several weeks of cutting. You should look leaner and less puffy. If you don't, chances are your weight hasn't changed either or has gone up, and your jeans aren't feeling looser. This is a clear sign that something is off, and it's time to reassess your food intake or exercise schedule. Your energy levels. You should never feel starved and running on empty when cutting. Depending on how you ate before starting the cut, you may feel a little hungry for the first week or two, but after that, you should feel comfortable throughout the day. We all have high and low energy days, but if you're having more lows than usual, then chances are you're not eating enough or are relying on too many high glycemic carbohydrates. Your strength. If you're new to weight training and start with cutting, you can expect to make strength gains. If you're an experienced weightlifter, however, it's normal to lose a few reps across the board when cutting, but you shouldn't be squatting 30 pounds less by the end of the first week. If your strength drops by a considerable amount, chances are you're under-eating and need to increase your food intake. Your sleep. If you're dead tired by bedtime, that's not necessarily a bad sign. It's common when people start training correctly. What's important, however, is that you sleep long and deeply. If your heart is beating quickly at night and you're anxious, tossing and turning in bed, and if you wake up more often at night, you might be overtraining or under-eating. The danger of hidden calories. A huge killer diet trap that many people fall into is eating a lot of hidden calories throughout the day. Then they wonder why they aren't losing weight. Hidden calories are those that you don't realize are there and account for, such as the following. The 2 tablespoons of olive oil used to cook your dinner, 240 calories. The 2 tablespoons of mayonnaise in your homemade chicken salad, 200 calories. The 3 cubes of feta cheese on your salad, 140 calories. The 3 tablespoons of cream in your coffee, 80 calories. And the 2 pats of butter with your toast, 70 calories. These little additions add up every day and are by far the number one reason why people fail to get results from what would otherwise be a proper dietary regimen. There just isn't a large margin for error when you're trying to maintain a moderate calorie deficit every day. For example, let's say you're looking to maintain a 500 calorie deficit every day to lose about a pound of fat per week, but you accidentally eat 400 more calories than you should have, leaving you in a 100 calorie deficit instead. It'll now take a month or longer to lose that pound of fat. It's that simple. It might seem paranoid to be careful about how many tablespoons of ketchup you have in a day, but if you watch your calories that closely when cutting, you're guaranteed to get results. The best way to avoid hidden calories is to prepare your food yourself so you know exactly what went into it. For most people, this just means preparing a lunch to bring to the office, as they usually eat breakfast and dinner at home. Adjusting your numbers. If your weight has remained the same for 7 to 10 days and you haven't gotten any leaner, and you've stuck 100% to your numbers, you simply need to move more or reduce your calorie intake. My first choice is always move more, but you can only do so much exercise. I recommend doing no more than 5 60-minute weightlifting and 4 30-minute cardio sessions per week. This is quite a bit, and any more will place too much stress on the body when you're in a calorie deficit. If you're already doing that much exercise and you're not getting leaner, then you need to reduce your daily calorie intake. You do this by removing 25 grams of carbs from your daily numbers, cutting your daily intake by 100 calories, and then give this new intake 7 to 10 days and reassess. It's worth noting that you don't want to reduce intake below your BMR, as this can cause too much metabolic slowdown. In case you don't remember, here's how you calculate your BMR. BMR equals 370 plus 21.6 times LBM, lean body mass, in kilograms. This answers the question of how long you can cut for. You can cut until your intake reaches BMR, but don't reduce your intake lower than that. If you're doing the maximum amount of exercise recommended, you have gradually reduced your intake to your BMR and your weight loss has stalled, but you want to keep losing fat, first you will need to speed your metabolism back up. You do this by slowly increasing your food intake back up to your TDEE, at which point you can flip back to a normal deficit and continue to lose fat. This is known as reverse dieting, and it's something I talk more about in the sequel to this book, Beyond Bigger, Leaner, Stronger, which was written for more advanced weightlifters. Reverse dieting is more relevant to the experienced and well-developed weightlifter looking to get to the 6 to 8% body fat range while retaining strength and lean mass than the beginner looking to build muscle and get to the 10% range, but you should know about it nonetheless. Last but not least, let's talk about how to eat on the days when you're not lifting or exercising at all. In the case of cutting, it's simple. Keep your numbers the same. You don't need to adjust up or down. Bulking 101, how to eat for maximum muscle gains. As you know, if you're in the 10 to 12% body fat range and looking to put on muscle as quickly as possible, you want to bulk. Yes, you'll gain some fat along the way, but if you do it right, it won't be excessive and it'll come off easily once you're ready to cut. Based on my experience working with thousands of people, the average guy on a proper bulk will gain muscle and body fat at a ratio of about 1 to 1, 1 pound of fat gained for every pound of muscle. In terms of weight gain while bulking, you want to see your weight going up at a rate of 0.5 to 1 pound per week. Any more than that and you'll be gaining too much fat. If you're new to weightlifting, however, then you'll probably gain 2 to 3 pounds per week for the first few weeks while your muscles fill up with water and glycogen. This doesn't mean you're gaining too much fat, and you should see this number settle into the 0.5 to 1 pound range within your first 4 to 6 weeks on the program. When you have your bulk dialed in, you should be increasing reps on your major lifts every week and weight on the bar every 3 to 4 weeks. Calculating your bulking diet. As you know, a proper bulking diet requires that you eat more calories than you burn every day. While this sounds like a great idea now, don't be surprised if you get sick of eating all of this food at some point along the way. You won't be slamming down thousands of extra calories every week like some programs would have you doing. But even slight overfeeding over time can get a little uncomfortable. You can also expect to hold more water than normal, as you'll be eating a substantial amount of carbohydrate every day. This makes you look kind of puffy. Again, it's just part of the price you have to pay for optimizing muscle growth. So let's get to the actual dietary numbers for bulking, which you'll also find in the bonus report. Here's where you start. 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight per day. 2 grams of carbs per pound of body weight per day, and 0.4 grams of fat per pound of body weight per day. That's where you start. For a 150-pound guy, it would look like this. 150 grams of protein per day, 300 grams of carbs per day, and 60 grams of fat per day. This would be about 2,340 calories per day. Remember that protein and carbs contain about 4 calories per gram, and fat contains about 9. Which is the right place to start bulking for a 150-pound man. Chances are these numbers are lower than other recommendations you've seen on the internet. That's because many bulking programs out there are just overkill. They put you in a huge calorie surplus with the explanation that you have to eat big to get big. Well, while it's true you have to eat more than you normally would to maximize muscle growth, you don't have to eat nearly as much as some would have you believe. General bulking recommendations. When I'm bulking, I try to be within 100 calories of my daily target, and I err on the high side. It's better to be over your target than under. Don't think of a bulk as a license to eat whatever you want, whenever you want it, as this will inevitably lead to excessive overeating and thus excessive fat storage, which will slow down your gains in the long run. You can have a cheat meal every week, but keep it moderate. We'll talk about why soon, but a high-protein, high-carbohydrate cheat meal is preferable to a high-fat one. I recommend eating plenty of meat while bulking because it's particularly effective for building muscle. Generally speaking, I eat 2 servings of meat per day, lunch and dinner, and alternate between various types such as ground turkey, chicken, lean beef, and fish. Adjusting your numbers. The numbers given in the formula previously are starting points, and there's a chance that you will need to eat more to effectively gain strength and muscle, especially if you have an ectomorphic body that is naturally skinny and lean. Part of the game is finding your body's sweet spots for bulking, cutting, and maintaining. Fortunately, this is easy to do. Most guys will find their sweet spots to be within 10 to 15% of the targets they originally calculated, but some need to eat more to steadily gain weight. It's rare for a guy to gain fat too quickly on the previous recommendations and have to reduce intake. So, if after 7 to 10 days your weight hasn't gone up despite pushing yourself hard in your workouts, you're just not eating enough. Increase your daily intake by 100 calories, by adding more carbs preferably, and reassess over the next 7 to 10 days. If this doesn't result in weight gain, increase again and repeat the process until you're gaining weight at a rate of about 0.5 to 1 pound per week. If you're like most guys, here's how it's going to go. You're going to start with the previously mentioned formula and gain weight for the first month or two, and then you're going to stall. You then will increase your daily intake once or twice and start gaining again. At some point, you'll probably stall again, increase again, and start gaining again. After a bit more progress, your body fat percentage will eventually reach the 15% range, and you'll have a month or so left to bulk before you cut to strip away the fat and repeat the process. You can reduce your calories to a maintenance level on your rest days if you want, or you can stick to your bulking numbers. The small reduction won't make a difference in terms of overall fat storage, but some guys like to take a break from all the eating a couple of days per week. Maintenance 101. How to eat for slow and steady lean gains. Maintenance refers to eating more or less how much energy you burn on a daily or weekly basis, and is recommended for when you want to maintain a certain level of body fat while still being able to make slow gains in the gym. Generally speaking, guys switch to maintenance if they want to stay lean through a certain time period, like summer, or if they've achieved the overall body composition they want and are looking to simply maintain that look, me for example. If neither of those circumstances describes your current needs, don't bother with maintenance. You should be bulking and cutting until you're happy with your size and overall development, and then use a maintenance diet to stay lean. Don't think of maintaining as staying the same, though. I think you should always have the goal of getting at least a little stronger every month, and most guys always want to get a little bigger in certain areas of their body. For me, I'd like a little more shoulders, calves, and lats, for instance. Always set goals and be looking to improve. Don't just try to stay the same, because things tend to either get better or get worse. Generally speaking, I like to see 0.25 to 0.5 pounds gain per month when maintaining, depending on how lean I'm trying to stay. For example, if I maintain a very lean 6 to 7% body fat, I find that I can't eat enough to gain much muscle and thus may only see my weight go up about 0.25 pounds per month. In some months, it may not change at all. On the other hand, if I maintain 8 to 9% body fat, I'm able to eat more food every day and have seen closer to 0.5 pounds per month in gains. As you can see, when maintaining, your weight is less of an immediate indicator of progress than when cutting or bulking. Your strength progression is, though. You should see a steady increase in reps and weight over time. You should also notice little positive changes in the mirror and in how your clothes fit. Your shirt should be getting tighter as well as the upper leg areas of your pants. You can still cheat once per week when maintaining so long as you don't go overboard. If you do go too far on your cheating, I recommend that you reduce your intake to a cutting level for a few days to lose the little bit of fat you'll have gained. Calculating your maintenance diet. Here's your starting point for maintenance. 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight per day. 1.6 grams of carbs per pound of body weight per day, and 0.35 grams of fat per pound of body weight per day. For a 180-pound male, it would look like this. 180 grams of protein per day, 290 grams of carbs per day, and 63 grams of fat per day. That's about 2,450 calories per day, which should work for making slow, steady muscle and strength gains with little to no body fat added along the way. Adjusting your numbers. Dietary formulas are never one size fits all. Part of proper dieting is learning what ranges work best with your body, and this applies to maintaining as much as cutting and bulking. The good news is that this is simple. If your weight and body fat are rising too quickly, you're overeating, either daily or in your weekly cheat meals, or you need to add some exercise to your routine. If overeating is the culprit, reduce your daily intake by 100 calories by reducing your daily carbohydrate intake by 25 grams. See how your body responds over the next 7 to 10 days. If your weight stabilizes and your training is still good, you stay there. If your weight still increases too quickly, reduce again and reassess. Chances are you won't need to do this at all, but if you do, one or two adjustments are all it should take. On the other hand, if your weight is going down and you're getting leaner, you're in a calorie deficit and need to eat more to come out of it. Remember that while getting leaner is always gratifying, your body's ability to build muscle is dramatically reduced when in a calorie deficit. I should also warn you of a trap many people trying to maintain fall into. They severely overeat 2 to 3 days per week and then have to go into a deficit the rest of the week to undo the damage. This is fine for maintaining a certain body composition, but does not work well if you also want to progress in the gym. This will stick you in a rut every time. If you go slightly over your normal intake one day, you can go slightly under the next day and it balances out. Don't get too sloppy, though, dramatically overeating one day and undereating the next. Maintenance is a bit more relaxed than bulking and cutting, but you still want a relatively steady, balanced intake to ensure you continue progressing in your training. Flexible Dieting 101, Meal Planning Made Easy. You're going to love me for this section of the book. This is where I get to tell you that you get to more or less eat whatever you want to reach your daily macronutrient targets. As you know, I recommend that you stick to nutritious foods, but beyond that, there are no rules besides hit your numbers every day. Do you like starchy carbs? Great. Eat them every day. How about whole grains? Awesome. Me too. Dairy products? They're a staple in my diet. Red meat every day? Why not? A little bit of dessert after dinner? I recommend it. Now, some people abuse this dietary freedom and try to eat as much junk food as possible while staying within their numbers. While this technically works for the sole purpose of building muscle and losing fat, the inevitable micronutrient deficiencies get in the way of your performance and thus your long-term gains, not to mention your health. Just because you can eat a box of Pop-Tarts every day and lose weight doesn't mean you should. Sure, our bodies can use McDonald's burger patties to build muscle, to some degree at least, and we could use flexible dieting to eat them every day, but is it worth the potential health risks associated with regular consumption of low-quality meat? I don't think so. Being shredded doesn't matter if your hormone profile is whacked, your immune system is overwhelmed, and your body is starving for nutrients. So here are some good rules of thumb for your meal planning. Get at least 80% of your daily calories from healthy, micronutrient-dense foods that you like. One of the biggest problems people run into when dieting is they get to a point where they just can't stomach chicken and steamed veggies anymore, and one taste of something savory leads to an all-out binge. Well, the best way to avoid this is to simply eat foods that you like every day. For instance, if you would rather have a steak than chicken, work it into your meal plan, adjust for the additional fat. If you would like some whole wheat pasta, low GI, great source of fiber, adjust your meals for the day to allow for it. If some whole fat Greek yogurt would hit the spot, cut out the olive oil or cheese on your lunch salad to fit it in. Don't be afraid of little indulgences. So long as the vast majority of your daily calories come from healthy foods full of micronutrients, feel free to include some treats if you so desire. For instance, if you love chocolate, work some into your numbers for the day. If you've been eyeing that exquisite gelato for a couple of days now, don't be afraid to make room for 100 or so calories worth after dinner. Personally, I get about 90 to 95% of my daily calories from relatively unprocessed, nutritious foods, but I'm not afraid to work in a bit of sugar or junk here and there. Meal Planning 101, How to Make Enjoyable, Effective Meal Plans. You now know how to work out your calorie and macronutrient targets based on your goals, and so that you get to enjoy foods you actually like. The last step is learning how to turn those numbers into a meal plan that you can follow every day. And thanks to the amount of flexibility you have in both the food you eat and when you eat them, this is easy to do. Let's quickly recap the things to keep in mind. Be within 50 to 100 calories of your target number, depending on what you're doing with your diet, cutting or bulking. Get the majority of your calories from nutrient-dense foods listed earlier in the book. Avocados, greens, charred collard greens, kale, mustard greens, and spinach. Bell peppers, Brussels sprouts, mushrooms, baked potatoes, sweet potatoes, berries, low-fat yogurt, eggs, seeds, flax, pumpkin, sesame, and sunflower. Beans, garbanzo, kidney, navy, and pinto. Lentils and peas. Almonds, cashews, and peanuts. Whole grains, such as barley, oats, quinoa, and brown rice, salmon, halibut, cod, scallops, shrimp, and tuna, lean beef, lamb, and venison, and chicken and turkey. Eat food you like. Don't be afraid to include a little treat every day. Eat as many or few meals per day as you'd like, although I recommend eating every 3 to 4 hours as you'll probably find this most enjoyable. Eating protein more frequently is likely superior to less frequently, and each protein feeding should contain at least 30 to 40 grams of protein. Eat 30 to 40 grams of protein and 40 to 50 grams of carbohydrate 30 minutes before training. Eat 30 to 40 grams of protein and 1 gram of carbohydrate per kilogram of body weight after your weightlifting workout. Consider eating 0.5 grams of carbohydrate per kilogram of body weight 2 hours after your weightlifting workout. Those are the rules. Let's now look at the process of making a meal plan. First, I recommend making a long list of nutritious foods that you like and that you could eat every day. You can break them up into breakfast foods, snack foods, mainly quick and easy sources of protein and carbs, like Greek yogurt, cottage cheese, nuts, fruit, and so forth, and lunch and dinner foods. I like making these lists in a spreadsheet on my computer with separate sheets for each meal type and then columns for food, amount, protein, carbohydrate, fat, and calories. Build these lists out using www.calorieking.com or caloriecount.about.com to look up the various foods you like. Once you're happy with your food lists, it's time to start making the actual meal plan. As you know, the primary goal is to end up within 50 calories of your target numbers. I like to make my meal plans in a spreadsheet as well, and I use formulas to calculate the cals and totals automatically so I can easily see how things are looking as I play with the various foods and meals. I start by entering my pre- and post-workout nutrition numbers, as these are fixed. Once you have your pre- and post-workout nutrition in place, you have free rein to spend your macronutrients however you please. If you like a big breakfast, put it together and see what that leaves you for the rest of the day. If you prefer a light morning and a big lunch or dinner, go that route and see how it looks. You'll find a screenshot of one of my cutting meal plans in the bonus report, and as you'll see, I have entries for meat, veggies, carbs, and dessert, because I switch them around daily based on what I feel like eating. One day my veggies might be peas, the next green beans, the next a medley of peppers and mushrooms, and so forth. I just have simple options worked out for my allotment of veggie carbs. You may also notice that I included fish oil in my meal plan. Don't forget to account for the calories in any supplements you take. As you play with foods in your numbers, you'll quickly see what works and what doesn't. For example, extremely fatty foods generally don't work because they eat up too much of your daily allotment of dietary fat in one go. Most people will find it more enjoyable to eat a variety of lower-fat foods throughout the day than one high-fat meal that leaves them with little fat left for everything else. In the bonus report, you'll also find several examples of custom meal plans my team has created for our clients. If you'd like to get some help with your meal planning, you can learn more about my custom meal plan service at www.muscleforlife.com/MP. How to cheat without ruining your diet. Many people struggling with diets talk about cheat days. The idea is that if you're good during the week, you can go buck wild on the weekends. Well, unless you have a very fast metabolism, that's not how it works. If you follow a strict diet and exercise program, you can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. And if you get too crazy with your cheating, you can gain it right back and more over a weekend. And if you're bulking, you can gain double the fat you normally would have that week. There are much smarter ways to go about cheating. First, I want you to think in cheat meals, not days. No sensible diet should include entire days of overeating, but a single bout of moderate overeating every week is advisable when you're dieting to lose weight. Why? Well, there's the psychological boost, which keeps you happy and motivated, which ultimately makes sticking to your diet easier. There's also a physiological boost, but it's not the metabolic boost that you might be thinking. Yes, studies on overfeeding, the scientific term for binging on food, show that doing so can boost your metabolic rate by anywhere from 3 to 10%. But this doesn't mean much when you consider that you would need to eat anywhere from a few hundred to a few thousand extra calories in a day to achieve this effect, thus negating the metabolic benefits. The psychological effect we're after relates to the hormone leptin, which regulates hunger, your metabolic rate, appetite, motivation, and libido, among many other functions. When you're in a caloric deficit and lose body fat, your leptin levels drop. This, in turn, causes your metabolic rate to slow down, your appetite to increase, your motivation to wane, and your mood to sour. When you give your leptin levels a dramatic boost, however, this can have positive effects on fat oxidation, thyroid activity, mood, and even testosterone levels. Eating carbohydrates is the most effective way to raise leptin levels. Eating protein is moderately effective. Eating dietary fat has little to no effect on leptin levels, and drinking alcohol lowers them. Thus, a good cheat meal is a high-protein, high-carbohydrate, low-fat, and alcohol-free meal that doesn't put you in a large calorie surplus for the day. It's totally fine to end the day a few hundred calories over your normal intake, but you're going to have problems if you eat 1,000-plus more calories than you burn for the day, especially when a large percentage of those surplus calories came from dietary fat. Add in some alcohol, which will not only blunt leptin production, but will also accelerate the storage of the dietary fat as body fat, and you can undo a nice chunk of your week's progress in one meal. Consider refeeding instead of cheating. Another enjoyable way to get a psychological break from your diet and boost leptin levels is the refeed day. It's simple. Here's how it works. Take your current daily calorie intake and increase it by 30%. This will provide enough of a surplus to confer the benefits of refeeding without adding too much body fat. Next, break the calories into the following macronutrient profile. 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. As little dietary fat as possible. Most recommendations call for 20 grams or fewer for the day, and the rest from carbohydrate. This is your macronutrient target for your refeed day. For example, I recently finished a cut at 187 pounds, eating about 2,200 calories per day. Here's how my refeed day looked. Calorie target, 2,900. 190 grams of protein, 15 to 20 grams of fat, incidental in other foods, 500 grams of carbohydrate. In case you're wondering how I calculated 500 grams of carbohydrate, I simply subtracted the calories from my protein and fat, 760 and 135 respectively, from 2,900, giving me 2,000, and divided the sum by 4 to convert the calories into grams of carbohydrate. And in case you're wondering how I possibly followed these numbers, I got my protein from chicken, protein powder, and 0% fat Greek yogurt, and my carbs from fruit, potato, sweet potato, whole wheat pasta, and pancakes. I recommend planning your refeed on a day that's followed by a training day. Many guys plan it for the day before they train their lagging muscle groups because the boost in carbs results in higher energy in the gym. The net effect of a refeed is that you feel better both physically and psychologically. You're much less likely to give in to temptations and set yourself back. And you can even experience a nice acceleration of fat loss over the following 3 to 5 days. That said, there's a caveat. The refeed requires self-control. If you abuse these controlled bouts of overfeeding, then you will simply gain too much fat as a result to make them effective weight loss aids. If you'd rather not refeed, however, and would prefer to stick to one moderate cheat meal per week, that's totally fine. Go to your favorite restaurant, eat your favorite high-carb dish, have some dessert, and enjoy knowing that it's not getting in the way of achieving your goals. The bottom line. Dieting is much easier and enjoyable than most people think. While eating whatever you want, whenever you want, doesn't work, with a little creativity and forethought in your meal planning, you can make an infinite variety of meals that you look forward to every day. You shouldn't feel overly stuffed or starved, deprived, or stressed out about what you should or shouldn't or can and can't eat, and it shouldn't take more than minor adjustments of intake and exercise to keep your body progressing toward your ultimate goals. Chapter Summary. Introduction. Cutting is fitness speak for feeding your body less energy than it burns every day, to maximize fat loss while minimizing muscle loss. Generally speaking, you can't build muscle when you're cutting. Bulking refers to feeding your body slightly more energy than it burns every day so as to maximize muscle growth. You also gain body fat while bulking. Maintaining refers to feeding your body the energy it burns every day, which enables you to make slow muscle gains without the adding of any fat. Restricting calories hinders your body's ability to build muscle, and eating a slight surplus of calories maximizes it. The only people who can effectively and naturally build muscle and lose fat simultaneously are newbies who have a fair amount of fat to lose and people who used to be in great shape and are now getting back at it. Muscle memory allows you to rapidly regain muscle you once had. I recommend that you juggle your cuts and bulks to remain in the 10 to 17% body fat range, until you reach a point where you're absolutely satisfied with your overall size at 10% and then cut below this point. Cutting. You're looking to lose between 0.5 and 1 pound per week when cutting. And if that sounds low to you, remember that rapid weight loss is undesirable as it means you're losing a fair amount of muscle as well as fat. If you have quite a bit of fat to lose, you may find you lose more than 2 to 3 pounds per week for the first few weeks, and that's fine. As time goes on, though, you should see it slow down to a rate of 0.5 to 1 pound loss per week. During your first week or two of cutting, you can expect to be a little hungry at times and to run into some cravings. This doesn't mean that you're losing muscle or that anything else is wrong. When I'm cutting, I try to be within 50 calories of my daily target. Some days I'm a little higher and some a little lower, but I don't have any major swings in my intake. Generally speaking, if your weight is going up on a cut, you're eating too much or moving too little. Your waist measurement at the navel shrinking is a reliable sign that you're losing fat, so if your jeans feel looser, that's a good sign. Although it can be tough to observe changes in our bodies when we see them every day, you should definitely notice a visual difference after several weeks of cutting. You should look leaner and less puffy. We all have high and low energy days, but if you're having more lows than usual, then chances are you're not eating enough or are relying on too many high glycemic carbohydrates. If your strength drops considerably, chances are you're under-eating and need to increase your food intake. If your heart is beating quickly at night and you're anxious, tossing and turning in bed, and if you wake up more often at night, you might be overtraining or under-eating. The best way to avoid hidden calories is to prepare your food yourself so you know exactly what went into it. If your weight has remained the same for 7 to 10 days and you haven't gotten any leaner, and you've stuck 100% to your numbers, you simply need to move more or reduce your calorie intake. You don't want to reduce intake below your BMR, as this can cause too much metabolic slowdown. Bulking. As you know, if you're in the 10 to 12% body fat range and looking to put on muscle as quickly as possible, you want to bulk. Based on my experience working with thousands of people, the average guy on a proper bulk will gain muscle and body fat at a ratio of about 1 to 1, 1 pound of fat gained for every pound of muscle. In terms of weight gain while bulking, you want to see your weight going up at a rate of 0.5 to 1 pound per week. Any more than that and you'll be gaining too much fat. If you're new to weightlifting, however, then you'll probably gain 2 to 3 pounds per week for the first few weeks while your muscles fill up with water and glycogen. When you have your bulk dialed in, you should be increasing reps on your major lifts every week and weight on the bar every 3 to 4 weeks. You can also expect to hold more water than normal, as you will eat a substantial amount of carbohydrate every day. When I'm bulking, I try to be within 100 calories of my daily target, and I err on the high side. It's better to be over your target than under. Don't think of a bulk as a license to eat whatever you want whenever you want it. As you know, this will result in rapid fat storage, which will slow down your gains in the long run. You can have a cheat meal every week, but keep it moderate. Remember that a high-protein, high-carbohydrate cheat meal is preferable to a high-fat one. I recommend eating plenty of meat while bulking because it's particularly effective for building muscle. Generally speaking, I eat 2 servings of meat per day, lunch and dinner, and alternate between various types such as ground turkey, chicken, lean beef, and fish. You can reduce your calories to a maintenance level on your rest days if you want, or you can stick to your bulking numbers. If, after 7 to 10 days, your weight hasn't gone up despite pushing yourself hard in your workouts, you're just not eating enough. Increase your daily intake by 100 calories by adding more carbs, preferably, and reassess over the next 7 to 10 days. If this doesn't result in weight gain, increase again and repeat the process until you're gaining weight at a rate of about 0.5 to 1 pound per week. Maintenance. You should be bulking and cutting until you're happy with your size and overall development, and then you can use a maintenance diet to stay lean. Generally speaking, I like to see 0.25 to 0.5 pounds gain per month when maintaining, depending on how lean I'm trying to stay. You can still cheat once per week when maintaining, so long as you don't go overboard. If you do, I recommend that you reduce intake to a cutting level the next day or two to lose the little bit of fat you'll have gained. Meal planning. I recommend sticking to nutritious foods, but beyond that, there are no rules besides hit your numbers every day. Get at least 80% of your daily calories from healthy, micronutrient-dense foods that you like. So long as the vast majority of your daily calories come from healthy foods full of micronutrients, feel free to include some treats if you so desire. Eat as many or few meals per day as you'd like, although I recommend eating every 3 to 4 hours, as you'll probably find this most enjoyable. Eating protein more frequently is likely superior to less frequently, and each protein feeding should contain at least 30 to 40 grams of protein. Eat 30 to 40 grams of protein and 40 to 50 grams of carbohydrate about 30 minutes before training. Eat 30 to 40 grams of protein and 1 gram of carbohydrate per kilogram of body weight after your weightlifting workout. Consider eating 0.5 grams of carbohydrate per kilogram of body weight 2 hours after your weightlifting workout. I like to make my meal plans in a spreadsheet, and I use formulas to calculate the cals and totals automatically so I can easily see how things are looking as I play with the various foods and meals. Once you have your pre- and post-workout nutrition in place, you have free rein to spend your macronutrients however you please. Don't forget to account for the calories in any supplements you take. If you'd like to get some help with your meal planning, you can learn more about my custom meal plan service at www.muscleforlife.com/MP. That's MuscleForLife.com/MP. Cheating. If you follow a strict diet and exercise program, you can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. And if you get too crazy with your cheating, you can gain it right back and more over a weekend. And if you're bulking, you can gain double the fat you normally would have that week. I want you to think in cheat meals, not days. No sensible diet should include entire days of overeating, but a single bout of moderate overeating every week is advisable when you're dieting to lose weight. A good cheat meal is a high-protein, high-carbohydrate, low-fat, and alcohol-free meal that doesn't put you in a large calorie surplus for the day. Refeeding. The net effect of a refeed is that you feel better both physically and psychologically. You're much less likely to give in to temptations and set yourself back, and you can even experience a nice acceleration of fat loss over the following 3 to 5 days. I recommend that you plan your refeed on a day that's followed by a training day. Many guys plan it for the day before they train their lagging muscle groups because the boost in carbs results in higher energy in the gym. The refeed requires self-control. If you abuse these controlled bouts of overfeeding, then you will simply gain too much fat as a result to make them effective weight loss aids. Chapter 15. How to Eat Healthy Foods on a Budget. Don't measure yourself by what you have accomplished, but by what you should have accomplished with your ability. John Wooden. By getting the majority of your calories from nutritious foods, you'll enjoy improved energy levels, immune health, cognitive performance, and a general sense of well-being. And anecdotally speaking, the guys I know with the best physiques are clean eaters, getting only a small portion of their daily calories from unhealthy indulgences. The benefits of eating nutritious foods aren't news to anyone, though. Willpower aside, there's another major problem people trying to eat healthily wrestle with: cost. According to research conducted by scientists from the University of Washington, eating healthfully can cost up to 10 times as much as living off cheap, heavily processed junk food. Sure, a good argument can be made to eat mainly organic foods, but it costs an arm and a leg. Eating too many low-quality, highly processed meats poses serious health risks, but finding healthy, affordable alternatives can be tough. Thus, it's no surprise that many people think that eating healthfully requires that you blow half your paycheck on groceries every week. Well, fortunately, eating well doesn't have to be as expensive as you might think. With a little forethought, you can pack your meal plans full of nutritious foods without breaking the bank. Cheap sources of healthy protein and fat. No matter what your goal is with your body, it's going to require eating a lot of protein, and this can add up quickly. Here are my favorite high-quality, affordable types of protein. Eggs. Eggs are one of the best all-around sources of protein, with about 6 grams per egg, and they are also a great source of healthy fats. Eggs also have several health benefits, such as reducing the risk of thrombosis and raising blood concentrations of two powerful antioxidants, lutein and zeaxanthin. Oh, and if you're afraid that the cholesterol in eggs will increase your risk of heart disease, this myth has been thoroughly debunked by both epidemiological and clinical research. With an average price of about 20 cents per egg, or $2 per dozen, they're hard to beat in terms of nutrition and price. Chicken breast. There are several reasons why fitness-minded people eat so much chicken. It's cheap, high